Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gonna win, and all of a sudden you're trying to celebrate.
Here
when
we go.
Called
See,
it's Ed Tardy. Hey, can you go. Introduce the show?
Here we go.
I told
we're
you he's gonna
air.
Be on you tilt just, all week.
I mean,
America.
Does honesty matter, or do we not care? We just make stuff up
what
every
show,
day.
What show is this?
I don't even know.
Exactly.
Live from New York. It's the show that's completely on tilt. It's first things first. Today, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Mike Malone, it's not the ref's fault. How about that?
Wow.
Maybe don't come out to double-digit deficits every playoff game except one. Is there a chance Denver gets swept? Meanwhile.
Swept?
That's what it says. Another game, another 40-point performance. Is Brew willing to give an inch towards Jalen Brunson's superstar case? Just
and
a little
I'm
bit.
I'm in a good mood, so maybe.
Okay, good. And finally, the friendliest segment in all of sports, the rich tapestry of King of the Hill, a new person on top, alongside Chris Broussard, who did pick the Wolves to lose last night.
Oh, who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares?
Everybody knows. I think I might be the only national
No, definitely not the only one.
One of the few
one
to
of the
pick
few.
The Timberwolves to win
correct.
This series.
Go ahead.
I'm Kevin Wildes.
Uh-huh.
Nick Wright, something
yeah.
smart. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, America, Wildes is going to speed run all the worst versions of my personality this week. Because he is dealing with a classic one follow or classic three that immediately followed a classic one. The human body is not really designed to deal
That's
with
That's right.
It. And you are
like being an Air Force pilot.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
My face
right.
is like, ugh.
Exactly
it stinks.
Right. Yeah.
All right. We start with the Wolfpack in Denver. Minnesota's stifling defense, unshakable confidence, and general want-it-moreness embarrassed the reigning champs on their home floor. Here's Anthony Edwards.
We made shots, they didn't. That's the defending champs over there, so they're not going to come out and play like that again in game three. We got to be ready to take their punch. And I always tell the team, like when we huddle up and Finchie say, we got to be ready to take their punch, I say, we're going to punch too. I mean, they're not the only one punching in the fight. So, I mean, yeah. Just like that. They're not the only one that's going to come out punching. I don't give a damn if we go up 3-0 for the game four, we're going to come out punching too. So they got to be ready to take our punch, and we'll be ready to take their punch.
Again, if you're just tuning in, the guy picked the Denver Nuggets to win game two.
And to win the championship a few weeks ago.
Don't be a sore sport.
That doesn't matter. Exactly.
Who did I pick to win the series?
Exactly.
The Wolves.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Your Wolves.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is the series over? Gee whiz.
Does this answer your question?
Well, not really, to be 100% honest.
I hate to do this to you, Wiles. And Nick, I have implored you for maybe a year now to let the Tiger out,
yeah.
right?
What Tiger is yeah. there? Well,
and finally, because usually when we make predictions, you just say something silly, like the Rockets. The Rockets and the Magic in the final.
I've never
everybody
said that.
Laughs.
I make the playoffs.
It's Wild. Look at Wild. He's
the
national treasure. He's cute
is,
and all that, right? And this year, after me saying, let the Tiger out, Wilds, let the Tiger out, you made a real prediction. Nuggets, no one is beating them in seven, yeah, right? You got on the rooftop and you screamed it at the top of your lungs. You had bass in your voice. Yeah. You put 10 toes down. Chest was out.
Yeah.
And here we are. So, I do have to do it. I hate to, but I do.
What is it?
What did Bruce Wolves do to Wilds' Nuggets?
What?
They
oh,
went
no.
into your house.
Oh, no.
They threw up their on your coffee table.
Yeah, ate a sandwich.
They told you, get me a robe. In fact, get me a robe in T-Wolves colors.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, yep, that's right, you guessed it.
Oh, wait, dude.
Get me a sandwich!
Oh, I can't believe this has ever
happened. And some chips! Just... and a soda pop!
Okay.
That's what they did. That's exactly what they did
that
to your boys.
That is what they did. That is.
It is absolutely over.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You might get a game, maybe two, maybe. I doubt that.
Well, hold on a second.
You might get two. But this series is over. Nick, quickly, a little real analysis.
Okay. Oh, well, then that you might have to take your shoes down and sunglasses off.
The T-Wolves, maybe I'll leave the defense to you.
Yeah.
But they have two number one scoring options.
Two number one draft picks.
Right.
Two number one overall picks.
We know Anthony Edwards is a number one scoring option.
Yeah.
Cat, Nick, career, 23-11 on 52% shooting, 40% from three. Cat has the game of a number one option, but not the demeanor, you know, the intangible, the dog. Kind of like Anthony Davis. Davis has the game. Davis better defensively. Cat better offensively.
Yeah.
So they got two number one options, and that's all I'll say about the defense because I'm sure you want to get to it.
No.
Yeah. The Nuggets Wilds looked last night like a bunch of suburban kids playing against a team from the hood for the first time. It was like, what the? I mean, they were swarming them. They looked like, what in the world is going on?
Looked like the game was being played at two speeds.
Yes, and that was it. So, Wilds, I'm sorry. I'm glad you let the tiger out. But I'm going to eat my sandwich.
You eat your sandwich. And, Wilds, do you think the series is over?
No. I mean, it certainly shook my confidence a bit because no one's listening to me.
Oh. Okay.
I'm not saying I'm a basketball savant, but right. Josh and I have been grinding the all 10.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take Red Auerbach of the film room to figure out, don't go down double digits every single playoff game. They're like, oh, we should start playing. Yeah, I said that yesterday. And what happened? Down six at the end of the first quarter. And then they opened up. Hey, should we switch anything? We're getting out-hustled. We're getting out-worked. We're getting out-schemed. Naz Reid is out here looking like Wilt Chamberlain. And Joker can't do anything. Hold on. Here's the Nuggets in the first half. Mm-hmm. Wake up! Wake up and play basketball. What are we doing in the playoffs last year? Oh, surprise, surprise. Up five and shooting almost 50%. Regular season, up three. Little dip, but sure, why not? Shooting almost 50%. In the playoffs, down almost 9 points at half. This game was over. There's an element of, it's not the periphery. It's Joker. Just run the normal stuff.
Well,
run a high pick and roll. And if you're not getting doubled, pull the old Chris Broussard back down, back down, back down. Uh-oh, help. Kick it out. Hit a three. So, that's what won you the championship.
Whoa.
We're doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
So there's also this possibility. They're not as good as you thought they were.
Well, they're gassed.
Well, from what?
Gassed.
The altitude.
No.
They have to live there.
Okay. The,
just visiting.
I mean, so for the record, I don't think the series is 100% over.
No.
I think the Nuggets are in dire straits, but I don't think it is 100% over. I know Wilds brought up the fact that only five teams have come back from losing the first two at home, but it's only happened 29 times. So that means about 1 in 6 come back from it. And a lot of the guys that we talk about, Joker, just picked two of the greatest foreign-born players ever, Dirk and Dream, they both did it. We're down 0-2, lost best two at home and came back. So I don't think it's impossible. But I think that was a master class for Minnesota last night. And to do that without Rudy Gobert on the road when it is the biggest game Denver has played.
Must win.
In years?
Yes.
Like, because they never were. You could say game three of the finals last year, but I think they were pretty convinced.
Still felt confident.
We're in control here.
Much more talented.
I guess maybe game five against the Suns last year, round two. But it's on the level of maybe the biggest game. And I have to tell you, they looked like some front runners. Their coach acted like a front runner. Their second best player certainly acted like a front runner. And Joker wasn't Joker.
No.
He was, and in my opinion, and we'll get to Joker later, third straight game that he has not looked like himself. And a lot of the reasons that I thought this team was beatable. Now, obviously, I was wrong about the Lakers, but I did not think they were this unassailable juggernaut. I thought they were the favorites. I thought they were the best team. Is showed up. They don't have a bench. They do miss Bruce Brown. The idea that Michael Porter Jr. is going to shoot 55% from three every game is not going to happen.
Yeah.
The idea that every postseason Jamal Murray is going to transform into Kobe Bryant is not going to happen.
I mean,
and Minnesota, on the other hand, Bruce,
get 8 points. I don't need the prime Kobe.
No, that's
can
but
I get 10.
Yeah, no, that's fair. 14? But I'm going to say one other thing that I think actually did happen. And it's so funny how sports work. Because, they lost by, it felt like 30. So,
well, yeah, they were down 30.
But they were down 30. But I feel like it could have all gone differently if Karl Anthony Towns didn't get called for that first foul. So just follow me here.
Okay.
They knew that without Gobert, the Timberwolves had to keep Karl Anthony Towns on the court. The refs called that first foul on Karl Anthony Towns a minute into the game. And it felt to me like the next 15 Nuggets possessions were not running their stuff, not doing what they had planned for, and was instead trying to get the second foul on Big Cat. And then the refs stopped calling anything. They were letting them play. It led to frustration. And all of a sudden, snowballs rolling downhill. Yeah. And so I think that's one of the reasons that they didn't do the high pick and roll. They didn't do the regular Nugget stuff. Is they were instead like, hey, you're already missing Rudy. Now we're trying to make you miss Carl. And it threw them off. And then they unraveled. They totally unraveled.
Can I give you one more highlight before we move on to Jamal Murray?
Yeah.
This is the Nuggets defense on Anthony Edwards, this turnaround shot. I mean, this dude is playing out of his mind. Like, just buckets, bro.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, like I said, they have a guy that when all else fails, he can just beat you with his spectacular play. I mean, that's good defense.
Yes.
That's double team right there, too, and he just hits a great shot.
Crushing. All right. Meanwhile, Jamal Murray's stat line, 8 points, 4 turnovers, 3 made shots, 2 things thrown on the floor. Here's Wolves coach Chris Finch. There it is. There's a towel. Take a listen.
Well, I didn't actually see it happen, but when it was explained to me, the referees didn't see it either, so they're not able to issue a technical unless they see it. We tried to impress upon them that there probably aren't many fans in the building that have a heat pack, so it probably had to come from the bench, which they found logical. But, yeah, it's inexcusable and dangerous.
Okay. Yeah. Suspension worthy?
It's a tough week for sensitive Canadians. Man, oh, okay. Man. It's one of the worst of all time. I think throwing 2 things makes it a suspension. Because you lose. Now, I don't know that they'll do it. I know if this were the regular season, they would do it. And I'm typically okay with kind of different rules for regular season and playoffs. But this is so. This was not heat of the moment, man. This was a building meltdown.
Yeah.
It started from him whining to Reggie, then literally whining to his dad, then doing the money sign to the refs, which cost Gobert $100,000 when he did it, then going to the bench and throwing a towel and not then realizing, oh, I'm pretty lucky that didn't actually make it to the court. Instead being like, didn't have enough weight to it to make it to the court. Give me something heftier. And when people say it's dangerous, I want to be clear here. It's not dangerous because they think you're going to hurt someone with the heating pad hitting them. Like, that would just be annoying. It's dangerous because it lands at guys' feet. They don't see it, and they can step on it.
Yeah.
And so I have seen guys suspended from playoff games for what I consider to be less egregious and less dangerous. And so if he doesn't get suspended, as a basketball fan, I'll kind of be happy because he'd like to see how it goes.
Yeah.
But he deserves it. He deserves a suspension for that.
I hate to have games or series decided because a player's not available, whether it's injury, which usually we see, or something like this, suspension.
So I'm with you, Nick. There's a large part of me that's like, man, I kind of just want him to be able to play.
Sure.
But he must be suspended.
Oh, wow.
Must. This is egregious. I don't even care that it was two things. Throwing out a heat pad, as you said it, two guys almost did step on it. You could step on that thing and turn an ankle or mess up your knee or pull a groin or something. Yes. It might have even been wet. Like, there, you know, those things are oftentimes wet. And so somebody could slide on it. Like, imagine if a cat stepped on it. And now he's out for the rest of the series because of an ankle injury or something. Like, that is no less ridiculous than if a player were to just run onto the court. He's sitting on the bench, run onto the court and start playing as the sixth guy. Seriously. Like, how? They don't have a rule for this is the penalty for if you throw something onto the court, because it's just common sense. You don't do it.
Yeah.
It's like he lost his mind. And I love Jamal Murray. It's like he lost his mind and he is frustrated. He's shooting 28% in the series, 20% from three. They got him locked up and he doesn't know what to do.
So that's exactly how I feel. I felt like I got catfished with the real Jamal Murray and whoever's been here for the last two games. Jamal Murray's whole reputation is get better in the big moments.
Yep.
He just hit two game winners, not buzzer beaters, but two game winners in the last series. Now you come out, he's complaining to the refs like it's a high school game, yelling at the refs. Now you're throwing stuff. You can't. Your calf must be bothering you so much. Career low on 15 plus attempts, regular season or playoffs, 17% yesterday. So,
how much do you put on Michael Malone? Because Michael, to me, when Michael Malone loses his mind the way he did, it instead of the moment of guys, stop complaining about the refs.
Everybody did.
And right,
KCP did.
But
you think it gives your players?
Feel like it gives you. Yeah, I do. I feel like that. I mean, I don't know what the comparison is, but if you're at a baseball game with your kids and you're the parent and you start heckling and cursing at a player, the kids are more likely than be like, oh, that's okay. I know that's not a great analogy,
I
feel like
saying.
Michael Malone made it clear he thought the refs were screwing them. And then instead of the players, because here's the other part of it. I didn't think it was an unfairly officiated game. I thought they were allowing a lot of contact, that does benefit Minnesota, but it's not like they were calling it tight on one end and loose on the other. The refs were just like, hey, man, prison rules today.
I think Michael Malone, I don't put it on him, but I think he was trying to get ejected. I really do. I think because he has said before the series, these starts are ridiculous. Like we talked about it yesterday, I believe. Yep. Like, we got to get out to better starts. So I think it was like, here we go again. Let me try to light a fire under these guys. We've seen coaches do it before.
Absolutely.
The way you rarely see a coach in basketball. This baseball, okay. And they usually get ejected too. Yeah. But run up and get in the guy's face almost nose to nose and start yelling at him. I think he was like, all right, I'm going to get out of here and see if that ignites something in our guys.
It didn't.
No, it didn't.
Finally, the soon-to-be three-time MVP. It's been thoroughly outplayed. 16 points on 5 for 13 shooting, 4 more turnovers. And as Brew mentioned yesterday, felt far away from controlling the game. Here's Joker postgame.
If you guys watched the previous series against the Suns, they're doing the same thing. They're really into the body. They play really good defense. They're playing the really good defense the whole season. That's why they're number one defense. They're aggressive. They're pushing of the spot. All five is aggressive. They know what they're doing, and that's why probably it's hard to score.
Okay. Surprise, Joker struggling.
Oh, yes. Of course I'm surprised Joker struggling. And I want to know what I want across the board, Wilds, what do they call me?
Mr. Consistency.
And I wish more people were.
Oh. Well, then that would hurt your brand.
But you know what? But the world would be a more just place. Does the three-time MVP get held to the same standards as the three old guys in the league? Because I know when Draymond loses his mind, there's a conversation, fair or not, how much of that's on Steph. Would anyone today be like, how much of the team meltdown is on Joker? Of course not. That's unfair. When the Suns get beat by this team. Mm-hmm. What is this, Kevin Durant? Where's he going? What's going to happen? Is that going to happen for the guy who right now is at the apex of the mountain? When LeBron James loses the previous round and misses a couple box outs, we say, okay, I know they fired the coach, but was it really because LeBron wasn't hustling enough? When Joker hasn't played 5 minutes of defense this playoffs, Anthony Davis didn't have his career best offensive output on nobody. And yesterday, yes, Anthony Edwards had an amazing turnaround. He also had a few just free run layups because Joker's just swiping the ball and backing up. He is a great player. He is arguably the greatest player in the game today. But heavy is the head that wears the crown for everyone who's ever worn it. And if you are the prohibitive favorite in a must-win game in your building with the other team's guy who guards you out, and you no-show and your team melts down, is there any other superstar in league history that wouldn't have been the lead?
League history?
Well, okay, it's in modern media league history. I'm talking about best player in the league. You know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's bizarre to me. He gets all the flowers of the best, and none of the fair or not it's shrapnel that comes with it. And it just feels like it's a double standard.
Well, I'll say this, and I'll address the things you said. First, I am surprised. Like, this is the biggest surprise to me thus far in this series, is that how under wraps Jokic has been. Now, this graphic will show you career. He's still giving you 24-12-8, yes. All right? But as far as the efficiency, career worst, he's played 14 playoff series, worst field goal, worst three-point, most turnovers ever in a series per game. Yeah. This is the first time I've ever seen Jokic play these two games where it looked like, oh, his lack of athleticism is a hindrance. Like, his lack of lift as far as jumping, his lack of speed is a hindrance. Yeah. I've never seen Jokic look like he's been outplayed and Embiid, you know, put 40 on him last year and all that. But this is the first time it looked like, oh, wow. Like, they're really making him look like he's not as athletic.
The conference finals in the bubble when the Lakers had three bigs. And he, you know, that was another time. And Dwight Howard, you know, a little resurgence. That was a time where, and now he wasn't quite the player he is now, but he was an MVP caliber guy, still finishing top three MVP. That was a moment where it seemed like, oh, his lack of athleticism hurts him.
Now, as far as what you were saying, Nick, look, I don't think he's getting a pass. It's only two games. I think he will be treated like Giannis. When Giannis won the championship and then, you know, the next few years they haven't won it, I think that's how he'll be viewed. We've seen great players have this type of thing happen to them.
Yes.
We saw LeBron against Dallas, you know. We saw Magic in 1984, Tragic Johnson.
Those guys got killed.
But do you think?
Well, first of all, they're not done with the series, and he's still averaging. Like, what people are looking at is, and I said this before the series, and I think you guys agree with me. Without Jamal Murray, I don't care how good Jokic is, they're not winning the West.
I wrote
And Jamal Murray's doing nothing.
I know.
So I get it. Jokic is not dominating by any stretch, but when you look at the second guy playing so badly.
Yeah.
And I also think this, and you mentioned several guys. LeBron is held to a higher standard. He shouldn't be at 39. But LeBron was in the freaking GOAT discussion in high school.
Sure.
In terms of, we expect him to challenge Michael Jordan. This Jokic, as good as he is, we're never looking at him like
that's
that.
That's fine. But
he's going to be treated a little different.
But I watched Luka's defense when they were making the conference finals be a huge subject of conversation.
His defense had, I mean, the, he
this postseason is even.
The, no, I mean, but he's not, but he, if you look at the analytics numbers, they're not as bad. I mean, Anthony, he's not a great, like, natural athletic defender. He's a smart defender. He can use his size a little bit, but nobody expects him to, like, block a bunch of shots or be
that.
A shutdown defender.
I get that.
All right, we're going to talk about the Knicks. Will Brew be ready to give Jalen Brunson his flowers? Finally, it's next on FS1, the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM.
It's been a good day. Maybe I will.
Oh, that's nice. Flowers. Do you think Jokic?
What's up, everyone? It's Nick Wright, and I got something exciting to talk to you about today. Angie, your ultimate destination for getting all your jobs done well. Now, Angie isn't just your average home services marketplace. It's a game changer. With over 150 million homeowners served and a network of over 200,000 skilled pros, Angie has experience and expertise to tackle any project with ease. Whether you're looking to spruce up your backyard or undergo a major home renovation, Angie's got your back. And their pros are locally based, often running small businesses right in your community. And here's the best part. Angie makes the process seamless, from researching and comparing pros to scheduling services at your convenience. Angie's user-friendly platform puts you in control. So why settle for anything less than perfection when it comes to your home? With Angie, you can trust every project will be completed with the utmost care and professionalism. So get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today to discover why homeowners across the nation are turning to Angie to get all their jobs done well.
Welcome back to the show. Head to the Garden, where Jalen Brunson delivered another epic performance, Brew, 43 points to take game one from the Pacers. Here he is postgame.
The 40 points are cool and all, but it's the little things that help us win games like that. And so I'm just happy I have the group of guys that I do. And I just know that we're going to fight every single day. And then that's all that I'm really thinking about.
Come on. Intangibles, bro. 40-point games, longest streaks in the playoff. Jerry West, Jalen Brunson, Michael Jordan, Bernard King. Brew, is Brunson
unbelievable
proving he's a superstar? We're on the path. I'm trying to get you to move a little bit.
Look, you guys know I covered his dad, who was a journeyman with him, Rick Brunson. Yeah. So I would love
you mentioned that
to say yes, meet you guys and be with the crowd, yes. But no.
Gee whiz.
What Jalen Brunson proved last night is that he is an excellent player who is having a historic run, who may one day become a superstar. I've never said he couldn't become
that. That is fair.
I'm just saying at this point, yeah, he is not yet a superstar. Okay. And look, I get it. I'm seasoned. I've been around the block a few times, maybe a few hundred times, all right? I've seen the best players of the last 50 years. I covered the best of the last 30 years,
covered
all right?
Covered Brunson.
Yeah. So I am not as prone as you two and as these legions of desperate Knicks fans to be a prisoner of the moment.
Okay, but
because I've seen a few things in my day.
Bro, but can I, may I jump in here? For,
well, I got a few points I want to make. You showed the graphic as if that was going to make me crumble and say yes. Bernard King, great. Was he a superstar?
I think he was en route, and then his knee went out.
Maybe
that was unbelievable.
He may have been en route, he was not a superstar.
Not yet.
Yes, not yet.
Yes.
All right. I present to you, and I brought it up yesterday. I've said Trae Young. Y'all don't want to get that one, but it's good. Let's look at Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, let's do
it. The little guy.
Yeah, let's do it.
Look at this graphic. This was Isaiah in 2016-17. 28 points a game, 6 dimes, you know, very similar numbers. 5th in the MVP voting. And beat Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler when they were playing for Chicago in the first round of the playoffs. Hold up. Jimmy Butler was balled in.
Dwayne Wade, 2017.
He was a double-figure scorer.
Okay.
He beat them. They get to the conference finals.
Yeah.
And the start of Isaiah's career was better than the start of Jalen Brunson's. But let me finish, Nick. You're going to get your chance. All right. And Isaiah was not considered a superstar. All right. Donovan Mitchell, you don't consider him a superstar. He has made the playoffs every single year of his career. He has averaged 20 points or more every single year of his career. He has been the number one scoring option every single year of his career. He averages 24 points a game in the regular season, 28 in the career of his playoffs, been to the second round twice. He's not a superstar, but I'm supposed to just hand it to Jalen Brunson after it's this small time of dominance?
So that's the part that's unfair. By the way, Donovan Mitchell, who outplayed him and beat him last year in the playoffs?
It's one series.
Right, but so now we get last year's series. Now we're talking about this one. Can we put up Brew's Isaiah Thomas graphic again? Because it's an intriguing graphic, particularly because of what is left out. Those are the season comparisons, which is fair. What it does not
and includes playoffs.
Yes, what it does not have is
regular
they're just playoff. Their playoff numbers.
But it's where, not just
no,
playoffs.
No,
it's,
but it
it's
is about a, it both. Is it is about both. But if people were curious, how was Isaiah Thomas in those playoffs? The answer is good. 23 a game. Jalen is at 37 a game. So that is those are not the same. You brought up Trae Young yesterday. Trae Young was on a superstar trajectory after the conference finals. Mm-hmm. The problem is
did anybody consider him a superstar?
No.
Okay.
No. The next year in the playoffs, he averaged 15 a game and they lost in round one. You brought up Isaiah Thomas that he didn't follow that up
well,
with anything.
Hurt.
Right.
He got hurt too. So but nobody was even saying he's on a superstar trajectory.
But if he followed up that season, Brew, with a better one, the next year people would.
Well, and then let's let Jalen follow this up.
My point
he's had two great years.
Right. Exactly.
That makes you a superstar.
No, my point is you are acting like this is the first year.
This is the second. I'll give you that.
Right.
And yet last year he wasn't all NBA first team. No, he averaged 24 points a game.
Right, but so superstar.
And they got to the second round.
Right. So Jalen Brunson. 2 years ago, was 16 a game in the regular season, then popped in the playoffs to 21 a game.
You keep trying to add that on. That
because
doesn't
that was
make
the
him
first,
a superstar.
No, I am just showing you the trajectory. Then he got to a team where he was the number one option for the first time. He was all NBA caliber at 24 a game, not first team, obviously. And then in the playoffs,
did he make
was 28. Check that for me. I don't know if he was third team or not, but he certainly was.
He's a one-time All-Star.
Okay, yes, this year's his one All-Star appearance.
Yeah.
So last year, I think last year he missed All-Star and made All-NBA, but you can check and tell me. 24 a game and then 28 a game in the playoffs, beating Donovan Mitchell in a series people thought Donovan had the more talented team. Then this year, 29 a game and a historic playoff run. It's not just these four games. You can expand it to five games. He's one of 10 guys ever. We can show you who the 10 are to ever score 200 points in a five-game stretch. It's all superstars and Bernard King, who was en route and blew out his knee and career never was the same. Going into last night's game, the betting site set his projected points at 37.5, even money either side. They said he's as likely to get 38 plus as under. That is superstar territory. Okay. And he has been so, we can show you the clutch stuff too, Brew. He is, I think he's better than Devin Booker. And Devin Booker was in club superstar.
I don't think he's better than Donovan Mitchell.
So I think that's a real debate.
Or De'Aaron Fox.
See, I love Fox. I do think he's better than Fox.
Let me ask you this. This could settle it. And both of you. If the Knicks lose this series, are you still screaming he's a superstar?
I got to see how it happens.
Because if you're a real superstar, it's not contingent on a series.
No.
Like Nikola Jokic, they could lose.
No,
he could score 12 points in the next two games, and we're going to be like, he's a superstar.
But I think there are right now, and again, club superstar opens Monday.
Oh.
So we'll see if he's in or out. I think there are openings created by Jimmy Butler. I think he's got to be out. In my opinion, Dame has to be out.
Fine.
And Booker, there's an argument. You know what I mean? Whether he's in or out.
That's fine.
So there's two or three spots open.
Two of them are gone.
I would imagine SGA and Ant-Man are going to be in.
Okay.
If there is a third spot open, then it is going to go to a borderline guy. A guy, like you're saying, Donovan. Because Donovan, again, if Donovan had lost that game 7 against Orlando, is he in, is he out?
That wouldn't have changed my thoughts on him. Because he has a track record.
But the track record is built up a lot early. And then it wasn't so great at the end in Utah when he averaged 22 a game and everyone thought he quit. And it wasn't, remember that series? And it wasn't good last year when Jalen outplayed him.
Okay.
Like, those all things happen. I just, And the other thing you have to admit to the audience, please, I am not someone that waves the Knicks pom-poms. I am not someone that is caught up in the back page.
I'm not admitting anything.
Okay.
Okay.
Now we can't even talk about the phantom kickball.
Why not?
Because you kept on talking about Wes Unseld.
I never said Wes Unseld. I didn't have anyone in my ear telling me to stop.
Let's call it that.
Yeah, there we go.
Has Hubs been talking to us?
No, he was captain.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Kirk Cousins' plan did not perfectly work out, bro. According to Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer, one reason that Cousins became a Falcon was because, quote, the Vikings were very upfront with the 35-year-old about the possibility that even if he stayed, they take a quarterback of the future high in the draft, which they ended up doing. Problem is, so did the Falcons. Money also obviously a factor. Yet to hear from Kirk, but how should he feel now that the Falcons took the quarterback?
Well, credit to Kirk because he did call Michael Penix Jr. and talk with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think he's a good guy.
Really good guy. Yeah. But he's got to feel terrible because at least in Minnesota – I think, and I've said, I think his rope will be short with the fans. I think it'll be longer with the front office and to some degree the coach. Mm-hmm. But the fans, if he doesn't play well right away, they're going to be like, oh, let's see Penix Jr. He is older for a draft pick. Let's see him. In Minnesota, I think the leash would have been longer with the fans because you've been there for 6 years. You've made several Pro Bowls. Last year, he was having a tremendous season individually before he got hurt. And he also had a rapport with the receivers, obviously including Justin Jefferson, yeah. Like knew the offense. He was comfortable. You had everything there. And it was like, okay, they won't give me the guaranteed money. And now they're looking at my successor. Let me go. So you go to a place now where you have none of that. And it's the same situation that largely drove you
but
out
you
of
you get
Minnesota.
The guaranteed money.
Yeah, he did get guaranteed. He got $100 million guaranteed. That's fine. But here's what I'll say, Nick. To me, this is the silver lining, along with the money, is that he is at least in a weaker division. So you got a better chance of making the playoffs in the AFC South than you had in the AFC North next, or NFC.
NFC
North
South
next
and
year,
North, yeah.
So, but yeah, he's got to feel terrible.
All right, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
I feel badly for Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. was going to be a first-round pick. Michael Penix Jr. had half a dozen teams theoretically interested in him. He got picked by the only one who's like, best-case scenario, he won't play until he can, you know, rent a car without paying extra. Like, that's not right.
Yeah.
And so he had no control over it. He had no control over it. The Kirk Cousins mini violins are bizarre to me. He is not a good enough player to get everything he wants.
That's fair.
If you want to, he could have guaranteed he got to go somewhere where there was going to be no competition. Absolutely. But none of those teams could give him $100 million. Mm-hmm. He also
none of us thought, one thought there'd be competition.
Right, but it's not.
Until a few days before the draft.
Fair, but it wasn't a guarantee. Instead, he decided, what do I want? Well, Atlanta's a city where my wife's family's at. It's in a dome. It's in a winnable division. They're giving me all this money. And I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback. I'll go there.
Sure.
Okay, buddy. Like, now go compete. And if they end up going with the young kid, I'll feel happy for him because he didn't make a choice. If broadcasting worked the way sports does, and the number one prospect, whatever in the world, was coming out, and it's like, oh man, I sure hope I get drafted by the network who has a 75-year-old on deck. And instead, they drafted behind the guy with a 35-year-old on deck. You feel bad for that guy. It's like, give him a chance. Mm. But no other industry works that way. I feel bad for Michael Penix. Like everyone's there is no scenario where Kirk Cousins, in my opinion, has earned the right to not have to compete and be paid the way he is.
Well, do you think he's competing? I think the job is his.
I think he is at least PR competing. Like you're saying, at least for the affection of the fans, maybe for the decision of the coach. But such is life.
Yeah.
You checked a lot of pros on the boxes. You didn't check them all. Very few people in any industry get everything they want when they switch jobs. He's not a high enough achiever to get that.
Coming up next, the Cowboys maybe get Najee Harris? They said no, but I don't necessarily believe it.
It's also not Najee
Harris. Najee's not.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Coming up in 10 short minutes, it's the greenest segment in all of sports. King of the Hill with extra butterflies.
Hey, ants on there.
We had to take Giannis off.
Yeah. That's kind of sad. Yeah. Afternoon headlines sponsored by Ram Trucks. They are built to serve. Cowboys claim they were all in, but watch Derrick Henry get signed by Baltimore. They're still looking to bolster their running back depth chart outside of their Zeke reunion. Here's Stephen Jones.
Nothing but respect for Derrick Henry. I mean, he's one of the top backs in this league. He's had one of the great careers in this league. I wish him nothing but the best with the Ravens. Sure, a great place for him. Our situation is just, and no one ever wants to say it, but it's salary cap. And we just didn't, have the money to allocate to that position.
Okay, honest. Cowboys also shot down a rumor, Brew, that they were trading for the Steelers, Najee Harris. Will the Cowboys regret not landing a star running back?
Yes. All right. And now, if they had gotten Derrick Henry, I think it helps them tremendously. Because I don't think Dak is the type of quarterback where he's just going to carry the team on his back shoulders to great heights. Mm-hmm. He might carry you to 11, 12 wins, but great heights without a strong running game, I don't see it, all right? And so, yeah, I would have loved to see them have gotten Derrick Henry. But if not a star, how about just a starter? Oh. I mean, seriously, like, is Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, Zeke Elliott at this point, starters? That's why the Najee Harris stuff makes sense. I'm not saying he's O.J. Simpson, but you could put him in there. Still.
Yeah. Earl Campbell. Yeah, I got
But
you.
I'm just saying, like, get a legitimately good running back. Sure. Tony Pollard wasn't as good last year. Still gave you 1,000 yards. Somebody of
right,
that caliber.
I guess my point is so I have two thoughts here. First one is this. When Tony Pollard was at his best, he was Rico Dowdle. My point is a guy that nobody was thinking of, who was lightly used even in college. I remember when
he was
back
a receiver.
And he was kind of a third down back type of guy. And that's when people fell in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will bet there is a running back on the Cowboys who puts up equivalent numbers this year to Najee Harris.
Okay.
I bet that happens.
Well, Najee's going to share the rock now.
Right. And so I don't think trading for Najee Harris moves the needle at all. I also think that we need to recognize this when we're talking about the Cowboys. And give me room here, if I may. Jerry is not nearly as worried about his personal longevity as everyone who talks about the Cowboys. So many of the Cowboys conversations are, people don't say it, but they're like, Jerry's 81, Jerry's got to win now. And I don't think Jerry thinks that way. I think Jerry thinks, I'm going to live a really long time.
Sure.
And I'm not right now pressed. Like, if we don't win in the next 2 years, we'll never do it. So that's why he's operating this way this year. Because Jerry, I think, also doesn't really fully believe in Dak. And what he doesn't want to do is, they could have very easily opened up a ton of cap space. All they had to do was extend Dak. Commit long-term to Dak at 60-plus million. Mm-hmm. You could have made his cap hit this year go from 60 or 56, wherever it is, down to 10. Basically anything you wanted. And go right now. But then that is your quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I don't think Jerry knows he wants that. So I think Jerry is totally fine with being like, Dak, before I decide if I'm going to commit to you for this next contract, let's see how you do under less than perfect circumstances.
Don't you think rookie offensive lineman last year?
Yes, 100%.
Like, he was in much better position to succeed last year than he was this year.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also think that if Jerry were 50 years old, everyone would say that's actually the smart way to run the team. Is that if we weren't thinking about, like, oh, Jerry's got to win right now, he's supposed to win right now, you would say, yeah, see what we know that with, under the best circumstances possible, Dak can put up an MVP level season in the regular season, then fall flat on his face in the postseason, and you're left like, who is my quarterback? So push it a little bit this year. Okay. Give yourself the ultimate financial flexibility for everything moving forward and gather the information.
So they're not all in. Is what you're saying.
Oh, I think they are clearly not all in
on making it tough.
They're all in on gathering data.
Yeah.
Honest to God. And I think that's how I think we, at some point, we have to judge teams, people, whatever, by what they do. And every move the Cowboys have made this year has said they do not look at this upcoming season as SBOB. I know that that's just not how they're acting.
They can't run from it, but you know what Nick's admitting in a roundabout way?
What am I admitting? What?
Eagles winning.
I don't know that I feel that way at all.
Washington? The Giants?
No, I think the Cowboys could still win the division. I think the Cowboys are an excellent regular season team year in, year out, and I don't think they had catastrophic losses compared to the rest of the division. I don't. But I also don't think there's any reason to believe they are better positioned than last year. I don't think that.
All right. King of the Hill coming up next. We've got lots of butterflies.
I love the music.
Love the King of the Hill music?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
It's peaceful. Puts me at ease.
Live from New York, it's the show that thinks Jalen Brunson is a superstar, bona fide superstar, in fact, the majority.
Two-thirds.
I mean, two-thirds.
Okay, yeah. It's the second hour of First Things First. Today is a sweep on the board.
Wow.
It has to be on the board. All in fair. Affair. It's got to be on the board.
I got to tell you, I'm rooting for it to be a little more gentlemanly. Okay.
I will still be a gentleman. Meanwhile, Wemby named Rookie of the Year. Do the Spurs, Brew, have to make the playoffs next year? They won 22 games when they were tanking and 22 games as the most dominant rookie of all time. So it seems like
LeBron didn't make the playoffs.
Wild, you got to figure out where you're at on Wemby. During the break, you're arguing ESPN Club superstar.
Right. Yeah.
Before and after, you're basically saying overrated fraud.
No.
I
don't like that one at all.
My goodness gracious.
But right now, it's time for the sunniest segment in all of sports. If you're just joining us, or even if you've been on the show for several years at the desk, quick refresher on how the criteria for King of the Hill works. First and foremost, rich tapestry, okay? Precedent, expectation, and current performance. It's named after LeBron James, and it's called King of the Hill.
It is indeed. And while history does matter and it is a rich tapestry, there is something very straightforward about it. There we go. That looks better. If you're out of the playoffs, you're off the hill.
That's fair. Mm.
It's the playoff edition.
Makes sense.
So I think we can show you who's been eliminated. What happened to all the butterflies? That is an unbelievable roster of eliminations. Look, I mean, those guys, by the way, aside from Paolo and Maxey and Booker, some of the oldest guys we have in the league, they all made the playoffs and they were all one and done. That doesn't even include Steph, who never even was in the playoff edition. His team didn't make it. Slid off the hill was Tyrese Halliburton. Now, keep in mind, it was very hard to slide off the hill this week because so many guys were eliminated. Yeah. But when you take one shot in the second half of a close game, when you score 6 points on six shots, you slide off the hill. That was awful. That's by Tyrese Halliburton. I know everybody was whining about the refs. How about your best player who's trying to be an All-NBA guy to get a Supermax contract just show up for the game? All right, bottom row. By the way, it's only a six-row hill this week because we don't have enough players. Jamal Murray's got to slide because now in the round one, he was excellent in game five, start to finish, and he hit the game winner in game two. Other than that, he wasn't very good.
No.
And then in this series, he's been bad. And yesterday, he lost his cool. And fair's fair. Second straight game. Storm didn't talk to reporters, didn't answer for any of it. And he actually, in this game, had a lot to answer for. Rudy stays where he is. Shout out to Rudy. Congrats to him for the expanding family. Congrats to his teammates for picking up when he couldn't be there. And then some new guys to the hill. OG, Miles Turner, Evan Mobley, and Jaden McDaniels. Kind of a defensive corner of the hill, that part of it. But they all make it. Fifth row, if we would. These guys, in my opinion, are second and third options. You could say that Siakam's first option was supposed to be Halliburton,
right,
who right now are playing some of the best basketball of their lives, maybe with the exception of Siakam, who's played at this level before. But obviously, Jalen Williams has played great in round one. Michael Porter Jr. was the best shooter in the playoffs in the first round of the playoffs. Pascal Siakam's been the best pacer. Derek White, bald Derek White, oh my goodness.
Precious.
He's the opposite of me. Should have shaved your head way earlier than you did. And Josh Hart, 13 rebounds a game and 47 minutes per game in the playoffs so far. Unbelievable. Yep. Also, one note before we move on. If Josh Hart's never going to be able to rest during the game, maybe don't pick him for your in-between quarter interview. My guy's hyperventilating. Let him sit out for 60 seconds. All right, fourth row. All these guys in their mid to late 20s and balling. Jason Tatum didn't have to do much in round one. Donovan Mitchell had kind of rough first five games, but then 89 points in the last two games and was brilliant in that game seven. Jaylen Brown, my opinion, was the best Celtic for round one. And Karl-Anthony Towns, what a resurgence for his rep, for his ability to be a winner, his commitment on defense, all of it was real discussion. I was a part of it. When he went down in the regular season, how much does that hurt him, really?
Obviously, and there was a lot of trade talks.
Right, a lot of trade talks. Shout out to Karl-Anthony Towns. Third row. I mean, I'm sorry. But Joker, you got to be better. The last time we did King of the Hill, he was at the top, and no one was on the second row out of respect, deference to him. But I thought Joker played poorly in the closeout game against the Lakers. They won despite it. I know he played poorly in game one despite the numbers. And then everyone knows he played poorly in game two. He's got a slide. SGA stays right where he is. That's not an indictment. He was great in round one. They're one of two teams that haven't lost yet in these playoffs. And Kyrie, man. Kyrie, I think, was the best Mav in round one, certainly at the second half of those games. Luka's numbers were unbelievable. The efficiency wasn't there. Regardless, Kyrie was phenomenal. And now we get to the top two rows. And if the Nuggets lose, I think one of these three guys is going to win their first title.
Whoa.
Jalen Brunson is averaging 37 points a game, has 210 points in his last five playoff games, is the engine and the exclusive offensive option for the New York Knicks. Luka, I said I didn't think he played up to, you know, his best in round one because he shot like 23% from three. He still was 39-8. And I think he's about to absolutely eviscerate the Oklahoma City Thunder. Not that it'll be a close series.
They play really good defense.
But I know Lou Dort's going to guard him. Mm-hmm. I think Luka's not going to shoot 23% from three and going to have a great series. And at the top of the playoff hill for the first time, a man who did get to the top of the regular season hill a couple times because of the highlight moments, because he won the week, now is doing it off the best player on what's been the best team. He has been the engine of that team, Anthony Bleeping Edwards. That, Brew,
pretty good,
is playoff edition of King of the Hill.
Solid hill for sure. And first, there was a hidden gem. I don't know if you caught it. Nick knows what I'm talking about. Hidden gem in there that you kind of glossed over. If the Nuggets lose,
one of the top three players will win their first championship.
Yeah, no
Celtics. None of those guys are Celtics, right?
No.
So you've got the Knicks beating the Celtics the conference final?
No, not necessarily. It just means I don't think the Celtics can beat anybody that comes out of the West. That's all that means. That's what it means.
But if the Nuggets lose, Jalen Brunson could win the championship.
Yeah, because I think maybe the Knicks could. If they get there, I think maybe they could. I don't think the Celtics could. Just trust me what I'm saying. Okay. I'm really meaning Luka.
I thought it was cut and dry.
No, it's not cut and dry.
The rich tapestry, though.
Rich tapestry. I don't think the Celtics are likely to win the title, even though they're the favorite.
For the most part, I think the Hill is fine. I'm going to switch, though. The Hill doesn't mean he's a better player, just like you're not saying Brunson's better than Jokic. But I'm going to switch Derek White and Jason Tatum.
Wow.
Because Tatum shot, he struggled. I mean, he had some moments and some numbers.
Yeah.
But he only had, and he played good defense and rebounded. I'll give him that 10 a game against Miami. But only 21 points a game, only 41% shooting, wasn't good from three. And Derek White was, we know how good he is on defense.
Yeah.
But offensively, he averaged 22.7 points a game on like 57% shooting, 48% shooting from three wilds. Mm-hmm. In the last two games alone, he hit 13 threes on like 51, 52%. Last two games with Porzingis out. So I was like, uh-oh, Porzingis out. This could really get interesting. He averages 31.5 points a game on very efficient shooting. So Derek White, if he continues to play this way, I think that is huge for the Celtics.
Yeah, wow. I agree. I don't know that I think he can continue to play this way. That's a fair point.
Or close,
sure.
But 20 a game.
Also, one of the bigger errors of Popovich's entire tenure was giving up on Derek White. You know what I mean? We talk about what the Spurs are going to be, and people are like, oh, it was 3 years before, and they knew they were going to be tanking for Wimby. I don't buy that. I think that was just a mistake. I think they underestimated the player he could become. But that's fair, bro. Go ahead.
You guys ever have something slip out of your hands? Like you're excited, and next thing you know, like, oops, it's out of my hands. Has that ever happened to you?
Not to me.
It's never happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, gosh, oh, my goodness, my pencil's flying.
Yeah.
Did I throw the pencil over there?
Yeah.
Not really. I was just trying to say, oh, gosh, darn it. I don't know. Jamal Murray threw stuff onto the court? Or was he just like, ah, gosh, darn it, I wish these referees refereed better? Got no proof that he did it on purpose. You can't tell me his intent. He may have just been frustrated, and next thing you know, the towel moves. You yourself said those hot packs can get a little moist, get a little slippery. You say, oh, gosh darn it. Next thing you know, the hot pack is there. This? Well, what did you say, this?
The dollar, yeah, the money.
Or was it this? Because when Tommy DeVito does this,
no,
I got to go to a sandwich
this.
Shop. I can't tell
that,
the difference. Well,
this.
Look at the Zapruder film of
that's this.
It's very close.
Versus this.
Okay, well, let's talk.
Also,
we can go in the legal office and talk about it for a few weeks.
This is why, Wild.
So you don't think he should
be suspended. The second throw is so devastating to your case. Because I talk with my hands all the time, and it's totally in play. I could be talking with my hands and do that.
Yeah,
but if then a moment later, I'm like, hey, where's another one of these? I grab it and
I throw
it at you.
Watch out.
Then all of a sudden, you know
like
I'm
Superman.
Throwing it at you. By the way, that actually went inside your jacket somehow.
Oh, awesome.
I actually think in your, rascally way, you're on to something that if he had only thrown one thing, he would have had a case that no one really would have believed.
Oops, there it goes.
But because I don't think the league wants to suspend him, they would have been like, okay, can we prove it was on purpose? But the fact that he threw one thing, got angry, didn't get where he was going, looked around, found something else, and threw something else.
So I'm taking him off the hill. Meet you halfway.
Taking him off the hill.
Well, suspended from the
you
hill.
You are really disappointed.
No, suspended for the hill.
He's suspended
for throwing, so he's not suspended for game three. Suspended from the hill.
Not the game.
Just from the hill. And I expect him, you know what? I have confidence in Jamal Murray. Few days off. The game is on Friday. Get the calf right. Got the three-time MVP. Just play your game. Come out of there with one victory, maybe two. Come back to Denver.
Real quick.
Simple.
Before we move on.
Yeah.
Because I tweeted about this game not being till Friday, and you in your fog of war last night when you were just angry replying to people, tweeted like, why is this good for one
why
team,
is it
not
a
the
disadvantage?
Other? So, right. So I'm asking you, since we can't talk to the Nuggets right now, Do you wish they played tomorrow, or are you glad they have until Friday?
No, I think the cat, whatever the calf needs, is.
I don't think yesterday was about.
He's struggling because
I don't think yesterday was about Jamal Murray's calf.
He's shooting 17%.
What's his best game of the playoffs?
Game five, his calf has been hurting the whole time.
Right.
Well, he had to dig down.
He was amazing in game five right after he hurt it. Well, this is – I've been down this path in 2016 with Steph. I can't go down it. When Steph got hurt, first game back, sets the record for points in overtime, steps back. Then he has a bad game, he's hurt. Then he has a good game, he's back. Then he has a bad game,
that's
he's hurt.
True.
It you're can't be
right.
You're back when you're back and you're hurt when you're bad. That's not okay.
He's got 25 points in two games.
Because he's been bad because he's playing the best defense in basketball.
Well,
and yes, he's out of his mind.
Defense.
It's not
get these
smothering.
Butterflies
his
out of
it is smothering.
Function.
It
that's
is
some smothering defense.
It's, he's right.
It's not that smothering.
It is.
It's
number one in basketball.
I'll tell you that much. You know, last night on TNT, Kenny Smith very diplomatic about what Denver needs to do to get back in the series. Then went to Shaq, and Shaq gave Minnesota their flowers. And then went to Barkley, who guaranteed a sweep. Wasn't great for me. Take a listen.
This series is a wrap. Minnesota is better than the Nuggets. No disrespect. They don't have an advantage. The MVP is getting outplayed. They don't have an advantage anywhere. The Minnesota Timberwolves are for real. They're going to sweep the Denver Nuggets, period.
Gosh. All right, so 29 times in NBA history, Brew, has the home team dropped the first two games. Come back to 1-5, lost 24. Do you think there's a sweep on the board?
I'm not predicting a sweep, but it's on the board.
It's on the board.
It has to be on the board because the Nuggets looked – demoralized. And yes. I know they got the heart of a champion, so I'm not going to say that. Well, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt,
okay.
Right? But they did look demoralized. You got the best player in the world. You got a clutch guy like Jamal, and they look demoralized. And also, let's just – Jamal Murray might not be there. If he doesn't play game three, if he's suspended, I don't see how they win unless Minnesota just takes it lightly. But we've seen Ant Edwards say, look, even if we go up 3-0, we still got to punch them in the face. Like, they seem to have the right attitude where they didn't let up against Phoenix.
Yep.
And they don't seem like – so I don't know that they're going to let up. I think that's kind of the only way, especially without Jamal, that they get game three. And if you – here's the thing, Nick. If they lose game three, the Nuggets, then, guys, you're human. So you're like, nobody's ever done this yet. We're going to go out and try. You're saying the right things. But it's hard to muster up.
It
a
is,
win
but
in game
I, so here's the thing. So I know Wilds got very mad at me last week when we were talking about this in regards to the Lakers, and you were obviously right about the Lakers Nuggets matchup. I still feel the same way from a theoretical standpoint that the 3-0 comeback is coming.
Oh, eventually.
Last year we saw a team down 3-0 force a game
That's
7.
That's happened before.
Right. I know. I understand. And we are now with the Lakers are down 3-0, didn't give up, won game four. Game five came down to a last second shot, and now it's something like this where, oh wait, is Jamal Murray not at all the same player? You know, I don't think 3-0 obviously historically is a total death knell, but 3-1 in the finals was a death knell until it wasn't. There are things, so at some point, I think the bigger storyline here for this series is Minnesota. Seems they are carrying themselves like they're the champ.
Yes.
And the Nuggets are carrying themselves like it's going to be easy. And what bothered me about Jamal and the coach and Jokic's kind of blasé attitude last night, and I know Jokic cares. I do. And I know he's a great player. But what bothered me about all of that is it's not supposed to be easy. You are supposed to have to fight. And you are not Russell Celtics, where it's like, well, we've won the last six of these titles, guys. I think it's going to be fine. You had a great run last year, but you didn't even finish off the regular season like you took it seriously. You blew a 17-point lead to the Spurs to blow the one seed. There have been these little signs, and then yesterday, when a team was in your building without one of their very best players, without their best defensive player, they took the game more seriously than you, even though they had the game in hand. So that's why if I were a Nuggets fan, My big concern would not just be, are we going to get swept? Are we going to get through this series? Even if they come back and win this series, they have not looked like champions.
But if they come back and win this series, they will have looked like champions.
It's all about winning in advance.
It's not about style points. If they come back and win four of the next five against the best defense in the league, against the team with the size to combat Jokic, and a guy that people think is the best two-way guard in the league now, they would look like champions if they do that.
Fair or not, what was being floated out there on Nuggets Twitter was, I'll boil it down to, Minnesota is fouling, and it's gone from physicality to fouling, and the Nuggets are frazzled, and they can't.
But like,
it's incredibly physical.
Is it too much? Do you think the refs will be like, man, they've got a point?
Oh, let's I think that will be the most physical game of the series. But the clip that is going all around where Jamal Murray barely gets it across half court and then is doubled at half court, there's not a foul there. There's just not.
He's complaining about it so much is the worst.
So here is the other part, and we can talk about it more later in the week, I'm sure. This is where, even if they don't win the series, Nikola Jokic must have over my dead body games coming.
Oh yeah,
it's mandatory.
Well, we've seen guys last year. What we see Giannis do? Run from the ball at the end of the game. Guys do. First of all, 24, 12, and 8.5 assists. Let's just keep it in perspective. I get he's not that efficient, but we can look at every. Michael Jordan had series where he wasn't that efficient, and they won. I mean, I'm just saying, like, if he doesn't come out and have a 35 and 18
game. You don't think
he's
going to have a big game for game three?
To me, if they lose this series, it doesn't really make me think less of Nikola Jokic.
Here's the thing. It's not that it makes me think less. It's that.
You stop all the top 10, right. And he's better than Olajuwon
So that's the thing. All of the guys in the pantheon of pantheons lived at the end of May, beginning of June. You know what I mean? We're talking they all went to 5+ finals except for LaJuan, who went to 3. Shaq went to 6. Kobe went to 7. Bird went to 5. Magic 9. Michael 6. Russell 12. LeBron 10. Where I get frustrated with some of the discourse is we cannot say Nikola Jokic is better than X, Y, and Z, better than Hakeem Olajuwon, better than Larry Bird, better than Shaq one day, and then not ding him if he's been to one finals.
If this is all it was, that changes everything. If like 5 years from now he's got one finals appearance.
Giannis lives right now.
Right. Wemby next. If you get a chance, check out the podcast and our YouTube channel. It's got some exclusive content on it. It's been pretty good. Tomorrow, the greatest segment in all of sports, NBA tiers. Look at Anthony Edwards. Full new group of people here.
Wow. 3 potential guys banging on club superstar door.
Goodness.
Brew. We're going to have to make one of the bouncers brew, just holding Jalen Brunson back.
Medals time. Ramsey's favorite ex, Nick, Obi Toppin, back in the garden.
This
won a dunk contest not too long ago. Now 30.
See, I thought the defender was too close to do
that. I did
that,
too. You know what I mean? I think this was a bananas decision, and it just shows what a great athlete he is.
Right.
Also, this couldn't have gone better for Ramsey. As Knicks won, he was there, and Obi Toppin. Ramsey thinks Obi Toppin's better than Obi Toppin's mother, who was at the game. It was just perfect. Bronze medal. I mean, the modern-day Moses Malone. Just call it what it is. Josh Hart. Just
the rebound.
24-13-8, 3 steals. He was phenomenal. Silver medal. Karl-Anthony Towns, I gave it to him.
Sure.
You know, I thought he set the tone. I thought Anthony Edwards wasn't great early, and Karl was, so I gave it to him. And then the gold, of course, Jalen Brunson. You know, I'm ready to say it, bro. Better than Clyde Frazier. 46-6-6. Jalen Brunson gets the gold. There's the podium
best
from last night in the association.
60 seconds left. Wemby named unanimous rookie of the year, led all rookies in points, rebounds, and blocks. Spurs have won 22 games in back-to-back years, Brew.
Do you think they can make a playoff run next year?
Yes. Make a playoff run. I think Wimby will be a top 10 player for sure.
Okay.
Maybe top five. I think top five will depend on how well, how many games.
Wow.
Nick, listen to his number. His minutes went up as the season progressed. Last month of the season, there was only five games in April, but there were four of them against playoff teams. He played 35 minutes a night, which, right, we hope he can play at least. He should play at least. He averaged 25, 13, 7 assists, 6.8. And 5.5 blocks.
Okay.
So I'm saying if you caught me there. But I'm thinking, I don't know, 27, 13, 6-5 next year.
Wow. Well, those numbers are crazy. The Spurs, I don't think, will be a playoff team. LeBron didn't make the playoffs in year two. Jordan wasn't above 500 till year four.
But he made the playoffs.